Good morning. So I'd just like to first start with thanking Pastor Rob and the elders for giving me another opportunity to preach. Rob gave me a choice of continuing this series in Revelation or a standalone message. Told me suffering and endurance would be the theme. Gave me a couple starter verses, and I was quickly able to see what I can start digging around. But Revelation is really one of those books that intimidates me. I'm sure I'm not the only one. Now, found some really comforting words in Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. The devil wants us intimidated by this book. It's the script of how his reign ends. We already know as believers how the story ends. God wins. Amen? Now, suffering and endurance has been a continuous message throughout the Bible. This isn't something new. Anyone in here with more than 3 decades of experience, we've all faced some level of suffering. But because of our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the price that he paid for us, we know how the story ends, and that is why we press on. For this message, I've been working out of the NASB and the NIV, so I'm going to be using the interchangeable word of saints and God's people. So when I say saints, think God's people. When I say God's people, think saints. Depending on your translation of the Bible, it's going to be one or the other. But I just don't want us getting hung up on words. And for the note takers, much like last time, I'm not going to prompt you to fill in the blanks, but up on the screens, the word will be underlined with the corresponding number. Allow me to pray over you as you pray for me. Dear Lord, I just lift this people high up to you. May the Spirit dwell among us as I proclaim your word. Word that you put on my heart. And I just pray that scales will fall from eyes, fires lit in hearts, and spirit stirred. May you make us like the sons of Issachar, Lord. Let us discern these times rightfully and faithfully. In the name of Jesus, amen. So I want to frame today's message with a central truth that we'll see in Scripture. Endurance and suffering is not punishment. It's the proving ground for those who belong to Christ. As we move through Revelation today, keep this in mind. Every trial, every pressure, every cost of following Christ is shaping and proving those who truly belong to him. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Rob preached on the coming judgment of the world. Today, I'm going to preach on the coming persecution of God's people. This suffering is going to be on a level that we American Christians have never faced before. For our brothers and sisters around the world, they are living closer to the persecution that is described in Revelation. This image came to me pretty quickly as I was putting together my outline. In 2015, the world watched as these 21 men in orange were lined up on the shores of Libya, and they were forced to their knees by Muslim extremists. For months, they were held captive, they were bribed, coerced, beaten, and tortured. And they were each given a choice: renounce Jesus Christ and live, or confess him and die. One by one, these men deny. One by one, they refused to deny their Savior. One by one, they were beheaded. Their blood covered the beach and mixed with the sand. The world called them martyrs. Heaven called them faithful. Persecution is not just over there, it is here and it is now. Just 2 months ago in June, a father was gunned down as he and his family were leaving church. 2 weeks ago, 2 children were killed and countless others were wounded while attending Mass. These aren't distant headlines. These are reminders that evil is rising, even in our own neighborhoods. Persecution of the saints will not remain rare and isolated. It will be normalized. What is now insults, mockery, and cultural rejection will become violence, blood, and hope and hatred. A day is coming when, like those 21 men in orange, we will be dragged out into the streets and demanded to make a choice: deny Jesus or die. Would you be ready if that moment came? Could you stand when pressure turned to real persecution? Would you hold fast when following Jesus cost not just embarrassment, but your life? Would you be faithful unto death? If you have your Bibles, please turn to Revelation 13. We're going to be starting in verse 10. A day is coming when persecution will sweep across the earth like a storm. Revelation tells us of a time when every believer will face a line in the sand decision: endure suffering for Christ or surrender to the beast. Revelation 13:10, if anyone is to go into captivity they will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword they will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. This isn't a casual call, not a half-hearted encouragement. It is a reminder the people of God must be prepared to endure suffering, even death, with faith and courage. If you're not saved, you won't be able to stand. You may think you're strong. You may think you're tough. But apart from Christ, you will crumble when the fire comes. On one side are those redeemed, washed in the blood of the Lamb. On the other, those who face the wrath of the Lord and His coming judgment who are unprepared. This isn't a game. No time for casual religion. This is a call to endurance. Revelations 13 and 14 describe chaos, fear, in a world turned upside down under the reign of two beasts. In 13:1-8, it describes a beast that rises out of the sea with authority. He curses God and wages war against the saints. The world marvels and follows him. This beast just isn't a political leader. This is Satan's counterfeit kingdom given temporary authority. In 13:7, it says, it was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. This is persecution like we've never seen before. Then the second beast, described in verses 11-18, he's a false prophet. He looks like a lamb but speaks like a dragon. He performs miracles and deceives the world and forces people to take the mark. So here we are in the middle of the Great Tribulation. Seas have turned to blood, stars fallen, famine, pestilence, and chaos. Then these two beasts rise, one from the sea, who represents the nations and political power, and the other from earth, who forms a false religion and following. Together they form an unholy trinity with Satan himself. They fool the world with signs and wonder, swaying governments and demanding worship. They demand that all accept the mark on their hand or forehead. Without it, you can't eat, trade, or belong. But verse 7 said it clearly. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people. Power only comes from one place, and that's from God. The beasts don't have real authority. They've been handed temporary power. God permits it, not because he's weak, but because he's working out his purposes. This is Job on a global scale. Job sat in ashes, his family gone, his health ruined, possessions stripped away. He was still faithful, even though he was pressed down to his breaking point. And just like Job's friends came with their so-called wisdom, in those days too, well-meaning voices will come and say, come on, God doesn't want you to starve. He'll forgive you if you take the mark. Compromise. It's the only way to survive. What looks like wisdom will be deception. What sounds like compassion will actually be betrayal. In 14:9-10, A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives its mark on their forehead or hand, they too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into a cup of his wrath. They will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. There will be no rest day or night for those who worship the beast in its image or for anyone who receives the mark of its name." This is a thundering warning. Do not take the mark. There is no survival outside of Christ. There is no forgiveness for bowing to the beast. What the world calls wisdom, heaven calls rebellion. What the world calls foolishness, clinging to Christ with every fiber of your being, heaven calls faith. Christians are hunted, executed. Choose Christ or comfort, Christ or compromise, Christ or life. And in this fire, John hears a voice from heaven. Here is a call to endurance of God's people. Not a suggestion, not a polite encouragement, but a battle cry. In verse 12, this calls for the patient endurance on the part of the people of God who keep his commands and remain faithful to Jesus. "Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them." John's writing in chaos. We have two beasts demanding worship. The mark is required, and heaven says, endure. This isn't cultural Christianity, not a convenient faith. This is costly discipleship. Jesus said himself in Matthew 10:22, "You will be hated by all because of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved." When the beast says, "Bow down or die," the saint says, "Take my life, but not my Savior." When the world says, "Be silent," the saint declares, "I can't help but talk about what I have seen and heard." Endurance here means holding fast. Cling to Jesus when everything says let go. Obeying God when it costs your reputation, relationships, and even your life. Job said in 13:15, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." In tribulation, the church must have that spirit. Unwise counsel will come and say, "Take the mark, survive." Heaven calls, endure. And the promise is right here. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Their deeds will follow them. That's eternal weight. Your labor, suffering, and tears are not wasted. God sees. God remembers. God rewards. In Revelation 12, we see the curtain pulled back, and we see a waging cosmic war in an unseen world. The dragon rages war against the saints, but verse 11 tells us the secret to victory. "They triumphed over him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death." This isn't theory. This is the Christian life. The dragon is real. The war is real. But so is the victory. Our victory doesn't start with us. It began with Christ. The saints overcame not because they're strong, but because the blood of Jesus has broken sin's grip. His blood forgives sin. His blood silences Satan's accusations. His blood secures our place before the throne. When the dragon roars, we don't argue with him. We don't rely on our record. We point to the cross. But notice, it doesn't stop with the blood. John says they overcame by the word of their testimony. What's that mean? It means their faith wasn't silent. They opened their mouths and they declared, Jesus is Lord. His blood saved me and I belong to him. This is where it gets personal. Testimony isn't just some dramatic martyr story. It's the story of Christ in you. I know this firsthand. Growing up, I was in church every week. I even led worship at my church. If you would have seen me then, you would have said, that's a strong Christian young man. It's not the truth. When peer pressure came, I drifted. I left. 20 years I was out in the world. 20 years God gave me nudges that I ignored. I looked the part, but I lacked faith. Real conviction. This verse cuts so deep for me. Because the enemy doesn't fear appearances. He doesn't tremble over religious leaves. What he fears is a real testimony. He fears when someone says, I have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. My sins are forgiven and I belong to him. We all have a testimony to share. It doesn't matter if you're the son or daughter that's never strayed. It doesn't matter if you found Jesus at the bottom of a bottle in your darkest hour. The testimony that's declared is the one that holds power. The verse closes with this. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. In other words, they treasured Christ more than their life, more than comfort, more than safety. And this is where the dragon loses, because what can he do with men and women who say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? So how do we overcome? Not by strength, not by appearances, but by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and a life surrendered to Christ. Amen? The dragon may rage, but his defeat is certain. The blood has been shed, and victory is secure. Will we stand in that victory? Will we live with fruit? Will we testify with our lips and our lives that Jesus is Lord? Going to Revelation 16. God is pouring out his wrath on the earth. It's chaos. Creation itself is unraveling. Judgment rolls across the nation like thunder. The seas are struck, rivers turn to blood, and the sun scorches. Darkness swallows the kingdom of the beast. The Euphrates dries up, and the armies of the earth march towards one final act of rebellion. Evil gathers every weapon, every deception, for one last desperate stand against the Almighty God. But right in the middle of it all, like lightning splitting a midnight sky, Jesus speaks in 16:15, look, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, the one who remains clothed, so as not to go naked and be shamefully exposed. Why now? Why does he say it there? Because the danger is not in the world around us. The danger is in our hearts. The world wants us lulled to sleep, distracted, comfortable, unprepared. We need to remain vigilant. Vigilance is resisting distractions. It's living ready for the return of Christ. It's keeping your faith anchored when others let go. Think about it. The devil doesn't need to destroy you with fire if he can rock you to sleep in comfort. The devil doesn't need to tear the Bible out of your hand if he can keep it on your nightstand collecting dust. He doesn't need to drag you into open rebellion if he can convince you to drift into apathy. But Jesus says, stay awake, stay watchful, stay clothed. These words are a warning, but they're also a blessing. Blessed is the one who stays awake, because the one who stays awake will not be caught off guard. The one who stays awake will not be swept away. The one who stays awake will be ready to meet the Lord face to face. John just didn't see visions of wrath. He saw hope. He saw restoration. He saw the new heaven and the new earth. In Revelation 21, 4 through 7, He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, our mourning, our crying, our pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this. For I will be their God, and they will be my children. This is relationship restored, eternity secured. The conqueror just doesn't survive, he thrives in the presence of God. No more death, no more mourning, no more pain, no more fear, no more compromise, no more shame. Every trial endured, every temptation resisted, every act of faithfulness counted, not just in the moment, but for eternity. This is why we endure. This is why we hold fast. The saints of Revelation 13 and 14, those who stood up and were persecuted, are the saints of Revelation 21, victors, heirs, and eternally secure. Refuse to bow to the beast. Refuse to compromise. Refuse to surrender what God has called you to. Present suffering is nothing compared to eternal glory. Think about it. The fleeting fear, temporary loss, the momentary pressure of this life compared to the unending joy, everlasting reward, and victory that is in Christ that never fades. We are called to live in light of this reality. The cross is our power. Endurance is our path. Faithfulness unto death is not defeat, it is victory. The Lamb Himself is our reward. So I ask you, when the beast of compromise comes knocking, when fear whispers in your ear, will you stand in the victory that is already yours in Christ? Let me close with this. Endurance is not optional. The blood of the Lamb is our victory. Testimony matters. Real faith matters. A fire is coming. The world will demand your allegiance. Comfort will whisper. Compromise will lure. And death may stare you in the face. But there is one power that overcomes it all, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. The question isn't whether God can win. He already has. The question isn't whether the dragon can destroy God's people. He can't. The real question is this. Will you stand? Will you endure? Will you hold fast to the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony? Will you be faithful unto death? To the unbeliever in the room, the blood of Jesus can save you today, transform you today, Give you strength to stand when the world demands compromise. Make you faithful when fear comes knocking. This is your moment. This is your line in the sand. Don't leave the same way you came in. Christ is calling you out of sin, out of fear, out of shame, and into life, freedom, and endurance. He is faithful. If you know you need to surrender right where you're sitting, pray, confess, and call on His name. This call isn't just for the unbeliever. Believer, maybe you've been living with leaves but no fruit. Maybe compromise has crept in and fear has silenced your witness or comfort has replaced your devotion. Jesus still restores. He wants to revive your worship, your faithfulness, your courage. Lean into Him and He will give you strength like never before. This too is your line in the sand. Don't ignore His voice. Don't stay the same. Come. Respond to Him today. This isn't about comfort. This isn't about convenience. This is about eternity. Be vigilant. Be faithful. Be steadfast. Because the end of the story has already been written. And the story ends with Jesus victorious, His people triumphant, and His glory revealed. Blessed is the one who endures. Blessed is the one who conquers. Blessed is the Lamb who was slain. The blood is real. The blood conquers. Grab hold of it, and you will never fear what is coming. You will endure. You will be victorious. And you will feast in heaven for eternity. So do not be afraid. The days ahead may shake the world, but they cannot shake the kingdom of God. The blood has covered you. The Spirit will strengthen you. The Lamb Himself will keep you to the end. Hold fast, because the story ends with Jesus and His people safe in His presence forever. Let us pray. Eternal Father, who's ever wise, I just ask that you destroy the spirit of compromise, of fear and shame, and replace it with endurance. Lord, we know the power of Jesus. We know the price that was paid to bring us out of sin and into life. Let us lean into that strength. Let us know you more personally. Let you revive us and bring us closer to you in every way, Lord. We need you in every way. Thank you for the price that you paid to get us out of bondage. We didn't deserve it. We're all sinners. But you loved us enough to give us your Son, Jesus. Let us go out into the world this week with a spirit of boldness. Let us speak boldly with our words and our lives that we belong to Jesus and we are His. If you receive that, say amen. And it's that victory, purchased by His blood, that we remember and celebrate the Lord's table. At this time, I would like to introduce Elder Jeff to lead us in communion.